Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. All right, I've got a couple of things to share with you as I get launched into the program. And then for the majority of the program, I'm going to be re-airing an interview I did with Father Tom Vandenberg. Tom was dearly loved and cherished by both Kerry and me as the pastor of St. Vincent and then the senior priest in residence at St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Federal Way. And he passed away last Wednesday. So I'm going to honor him through replaying an interview.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. All right, let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you and praise you for always taking care of us, for blessing us. Lord, I ask that you would give us grace today when we're tired. I ask, God, that you'd bless those who are feeling sick. In the midst of this heat, in the midst of the hot and cold, people can be walking between very cold and hot places. I pray, Lord, that there'd be protection against colds and flus and pneumonia or any other serious illness of the lungs or of breathing. Lord, I ask for refreshment for those who are struggling in this environment. And Lord, I pray for neighbors. I pray for, Lord, you ask us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so whether it's our literally our physical neighbors or whether it's just the neighbors that are in our lives, those that are around us, give us the grace, Lord, to love them well, to pray well for them. And Lord, give us a sensitivity to how we respond when they fall short. Give us, Lord, a sensitivity that is in your heart for how we respond when we see the sinful actions or attitudes of our neighbors, those that are around us in our day-to-day lives. And I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that was kind of an odd prayer. Why did I pray for that? Like, how do we respond when we see our neighbors sin? I honestly, it was in part because of a book I'm reading, The Holy Man of Tours. It's this layperson, Leo DuPont. He's venerable, Leo DuPont. And he was a wonder worker. God worked many thousands of mighty miracles through in connection with his life, in his prayers, and really through his, he would point away from himself to his devotion to the Holy Face. Again, that sacred image on the cloth that was impressed by Veronica onto the face of Jesus during the Passion. That relic is kept at the Vatican, and it touched other relics like it. I touched other cloths with the image imprinted on it. One of those came to Leo DuPont, and he was a source of many miracles. Well, one of his insights is that these miracles were, yes, first of all, a demonstration and manifestation of God's kingdom, of God who is king, manifesting what it is to live in relationship with him, living under his kingship. And so it was a mighty demonstration that, guess what? It gets people's attention. That's what gets people's attention. mighty deeds, mighty works of God, grabs people's attention and then gets them to stop and to consider what's happening in their lives. Well, what does that have to do with the prayer I prayed? Well, it has to do with what Leo DuPont felt in his own interior conversion when he saw neighbor's sin. And so when he had this reviving or deepening or stirring into flame of his life of faith, he would be out and about in public, if there was someone who blasphemed, he would give them a swat on the head. What are you doing? And he was an aristocratic guy, so he lived in a time that had a sense of this kind of activity happening. And he realized only through a deeper conversion that that wasn't the godly way to address the public sin of someone that was a neighbor, that was just around him in his life. Instead, listen to this. He would take that person into his own prayer life, and he would do penance for them. He would make acts of reparation for the blasphemies or the sinful deeds, the sacrileges, or the profanities that he saw in the people around him. And so if someone came into his orbit so that he was riding on the trolley car or at a party or at a lunch or at an event, and someone did that, instead of him taking a position of righteous indignation and sort of a holy reprimand, instead, he felt the interior sense of connection and even a sense of responsibility to say, I'm going to make up for the damage that that person's sinful words or attitude is in relationship to God. I am that man's brother in Christ. I am that man's brother, shared humanity. I am that man's brother, physical blood brother. But whatever the relationship, he would now take it on himself to make an act of reparation. I'll have lots more to say about this idea and theme of reparation in the days and weeks to come, as I am on my way towards that launch, that 40-day launch on the Camino. I am going to ask you guys to pray for me. That will be happening on the 25th. And pray for Carrie and the kids that will be here at the house. For those days that I'm gone, pursuing a path as a pilgrim of penance and reparation, as well as going out into the deep, saying, Lord, I want whatever the more is you have for my life. I want to fulfill the designs you have for my life. And I want to take the path of penitence, prayer, penance, and reparation for myself, my wife, my kids, and make great acts of intercession through the hours that I'll be praying. And so if you have prayers that you would like me to pray, intentions that you have for yourself, or intercessory requests for others, email me. Please email me so that I can carry them with me. I have 6 pages of prayers. Now, it's not like every line is a name. They're often like several sentences long or a paragraph of someone sharing, kind of opening their heart and saying, Tom, please carry this person in this situation in on your Camino in prayer, please. I'd be so grateful. So if you have an intention and you'd like me to pray and walk that path on your behalf, in your place, and for your sake, or for the sake of your loved ones, go just email me, tom@mycatholicfaith.org, tom@mycatholicfaith.org. And we'll get something set up online at mycatholicfaith.org, where you could just submit intentions right on the website. That might be easier. We're still I'm still kind of scrambling with like sort of new activities connected with this trip. So be patient. Oh, by the way, I got an email. Someone said, Tom, when you're gone, is Sound Insight still going to be on? What's going to happen? And the answer is, thanks be to God for the gift of pre-recordings. So you'll hopefully be happy to hear that while I'm gone, you're going to have fresh new programming every Monday with the priests. So there may be one Monday that will be a replay, but all of the other ones are going to be pre-recorded programs that I do with Father Lewis and Father Nagel that will air between August 26th and October the 7th. So, ta-da, there we go. I think that's pretty cool. So, all of those programs will be fresh. The second is that I have the intention of doing at least one program a week from the road. So, one program a week as a way of checking in with you all and being able to share with you all what is happening on the Camino, stories, updates, insights, things like that. So, I really truly want you to be able to be blessed by the coming along the journey with me. And then I will be doing some rebroadcasting of. We'll call them evergreen programs, programs that I've picked out that really get into core teachings that I believe are really critical for right now in our life of faith. And so these will be teachings that are not just the sort of standard teachings you hear about the themes that I'll be covering, but I think that they present a fresh perspective that is not often heard in. And it'll be said in a way that I really intending for you to help you go deeper in your faith and grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit and to live your life of faith and your life of prayer more deeply. And so that there'll be a couple of those that'll be about 15 programs that I'll be that'll cover a good portion of the days that I'll be gone, plus those new programs, plus there may be an opportunity in between now and when I go to pre-record some other interviews, like for instance with Sister Eucharista, or others that will air during the time that I'm away as well. So have no fear, you are not forgotten. I've had a chance to talk with Ron Belter about it, and my producer Amy D'Angelo, and we're all working together to make sure that you. Wonderful, faithful listeners will be blessed with some wonderful content. By the way, I will also be doing like live rosaries from the Camino and live praying of prayers associated with the devotion to the Holy Face during the Camino as well. So there will be a lot to that will more that will flow overflow beyond what you would hear on the radio. If you actually want to walk with me, I'll be walking live and streaming it live on Facebook and on YouTube. So mycatholicfaith.org will have more of that kind of dialed in for you. So there you go. All right. At this point, I'm going to turn to honor Father Tom Vandenberg. So let's get to that interview.
Welcome back to Sound Insight. It's always a joy to be with you today. I'm going to begin by reading today's gospel. It's from John chapter 6. And it talks about bread from heaven. And I think in a lot of ways, the gift of the sacrament of holy matrimony is like bread from heaven. But let's begin with the scripture reading and prayer, and then we'll welcome on Father Tom Vandenberg. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we approach you today in Jesus' holy name, and we ask and we pray and we plead for the gift of your Holy Spirit who dwells within our hearts, to anoint us for this moment. Holy Spirit of God, please, I beg you for the grace of being cleansed vessels, ready to be useful to you, so that the glory of God might shine forth from our lives. And I pray that blessing upon this hour and upon this time of conversation with Father Tom Vandenberg. I ask, Lord, special blessings upon this dialogue. And I pray for open hearts and minds among all who are listening, that they might be blessed with the blessing that you intend for them, Father. That truly, Lord, you would give them a new way of seeing their own married lives, or a whole new way of seeing marriage itself. And you'd make them great proclaimers and protectors and defenders of this great sacrament. Mother Mary, angels and saints, pray for us as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm very excited to welcome to the program Father Tom Vandenberg. He is the Pastor Emeritus of St. Vincent de Paul Parish here in Federal Way. Father Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Father Tom, I'm thrilled to have you on. We had you on the program several years ago, but now I'm so excited to be able to have you on now that your book has come out, Rediscovering a Pearl of Great Price, The Surprising Sacrament of Matrimony. Were you excited when you finally saw the book in print?
Yes, I have some sense of what it's like to give birth. It takes a long time.
Yes, right.
But the joy is really wonderful when the time finally comes.
Amen, amen. Right. And there's no epidural when it comes no. to that kind of birth, is it?
No.
Yeah, the authoring a book is a painful process, and I can totally relate. Some people are really good at writing and enjoy it and are able to publish books quite a bit. You know, I think of several folks I know that do that. I'm not one of them, Father Tom.
No, I'm not either.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled to have you on to talk about this.
Thank you.
So, Father Tom, when we were chatting before the program, you sensed a sort of a providential timing to your book as it relates to what you see happening right now in America, really, but maybe even beyond, in the church and in the world today around marriage. Would you talk to that, please?
Well, the most obvious thing happening today is the whole issue of same-sex marriage. And that's in the headlines. It's before the Supreme Court, and much is being said all the time. But that isn't what this book is about. I don't try to get into that whole issue. My issue is proclaiming the sacrament of matrimony, not just defending it, but rather my goal is to proclaim it. And I think that even if same-sex marriage were not so evident in the media today and talked about so much, the book would be just as necessary because it's not addressing that issue. The fact is, and it's a sad fact, that marriages are down in the Catholic Church 45% from 1951. In other words, from that time to, no, 1991, excuse me, from that time to today, I think it's 2008, that the marriages have dropped off. Now, that means people are just not coming to the church to get married. And to learn that, it was astounding to me. And then I thought of a couple stories of people in my parish. There was a young gal who was a wonderful gal. I watched her grow up practically. And she was involved in our youth program, came to Mass regularly every week, and we got along just fine. We talk about various things. She graduated from high school, and in about a year, I heard she had gotten married. Not in the Catholic Church. She hadn't come to me to talk about it, and I wondered what happened. I felt terrible. In fact, I felt guilty. And then there was another young couple that was in our marriage prep program, and they stopped coming, and I saw them at Mass one Sunday. I say, what happened? She says, oh, we got married. I said, where? And they said, oh, we got married by the judge. I said, why? And she said, well, we couldn't afford to get married in the Catholic Church. And I told them, it doesn't cost anything to get married in the Catholic Church. What costs are gowns and flowers and receptions. And in their case, it wouldn't have cost them any stipend because they didn't have much. But what I learned was that they had no concept that marriage and the sacrament of matrimony are not the same thing. Both are wonderful, but there's something special about the sacrament of matrimony that they had absolutely no idea about. And so whether or not we're talking gay marriage or anything else, the need right now, I think, is very, very important to proclaim what this sacrament is about. And we could, and it's going to, in no way does it criticize simple marriage. That's magnificent. It's part of God's plan for most people in the world. But we have a special call in the church around the sacrament of matrimony. And so, that's what I'd like to speak to.
Wow, Father Tom. Okay, now my ears are all perked up here. I want to hear this. And I'm hoping that many, many folks listening are the same way. Okay, Father Tom just said that there's something very distinctive about the reality of marriage as a sacrament as compared to just the, if you will, common understanding of marriage as a social institution. And so start unfolding for us what you mean when you say that marriage as a sacrament should impact our lives in a very distinct way. There's something very specific and profound about the reality of marriage as a sacrament.
I think it's important to begin to make the distinction between marriage as simple marriage and marriage as a sacrament. I believe that all marriages somehow image God. We are made to the image and likeness of God, and the crown of creation wasn't the creation of the man nor the creation of the woman. I like to speak of it as the creation of the man-woman. The two called to be one. That's the highest expression of who God is, a relationship of love. And that means that all marriages, in one way or the other, image God, of the very nature of marriage. And so what distinguishes sacramental from simple marriage is not God. God is present in all marriages. Jewish marriages, Muslim marriages. God is even present in atheist marriages. But I don't tell them because they get so upset. But it's true. And so when we say what makes the sacrament of matrimony distinguished or different or more special, it's not that God is present. God is present in all. What makes it unique and special is the covenant that the couple enter into on their wedding day. But it's not the covenant they make with each other. You see, that's true, again, in other marriages. The couple have a sense of the great gift they're giving to each other as a covenant relationship. But rather, and this is the one thing that makes it unique, is the relationship that couple makes with the other members of the church, with the body of Christ. In other words, the sacrament of matrimony is not just for the couple, it's also for the life of the church. There are two social sacraments, matrimony and orders. We understand how the sacrament of orders, the priesthood, is meant for the life of the church. A priest is ordained for the church. When I was ordained many years ago now, and I was lying prostrate in front of the altar, I was very aware of the sense that I was giving my life to God through the church, for the life of the church. And I would like to think that our couples could come to learn that, that it isn't just for them. It's also for us because they have so much to give to us. And so then the sacrament of matrimony, we really ask a couple, or in that sacrament, we ask the couple, will you spend some of your love for us? Will you, by your life, show us how we are to love in the church? And that's the difference. So when a couple gets married, the question isn't just what's in it for me, but it's a question that I'm pretty sure most couples never ask, is what influence is this going to have on the church? But it's a question worth asking.
That's Father Tom Vandenberg talking with me today on Sound Insight. He's the author of a book, Rediscovering a Pearl of Great Price, The Surprising Sacrament of Matrimony. And I've my wife Carrie and I have had the great blessing of being pastored by Father Tom when he was the active pastor at St. Vincent de Paul, and went on a number of occasions, had a chance to hear you talk about marriage, the gift of marriage as a sacrament, whether it was on a weekend or special evenings for married couples. And we have loved and benefited from your teaching for many years. And so I'm just grateful that you felt called and followed through on that call to put your teachings into a book like this. So, Father Tom, this pearl of great price, you know, that story of the pearl of great price is what you sell everything to get that pearl. Mm-hmm. You sell everything to get that pearl. And I think there are a lot of married couples. This is called just focus on Catholic couples right now who have been given a pearl. Mm-hmm. And in a certain sense, they sold out everything for the sake of entering into this sacrament. But maybe now the pearl has lost some of its luster. Or maybe the pearl got set aside. maybe got buried back in the ground again. And there are some couples who are struggling to sense, I'm not sure how my marriage is imaging God. I'm not sure how my marriage is actually benefiting the wider community. The Catechism talks about sacraments at the service of communion, namely holy matrimony and holy orders. Sacraments at the service of communion. I'm not sure how. I'm really struggling just to kind of make it through today. What do you say to couples who want to grow in this sense of the gracefulness that God has intended for them, the way that God intends to meet them in their sacrament? How would you speak to someone in those types of situations?
The first way that we image God is through continuing the work of creation. Okay. That's the obvious thing. What I think happens, and so we image God the Creator. What happens in the sacrament of matrimony is that we image also Jesus the Redeemer. His life was spent totally for others to show us what love looks like. I believe that we are on this earth to learn how to love. If we're made in the image of God, who is love, then the more loving we become, the more we will be imaging God, and the more human we will become, the more like Jesus. And so if we, as the sacrament of matrimony, image Jesus the Redeemer, we are going to show by our lives what Jesus' love looked like. And so we're going to live the sacrament of matrimony. The first given is that we live our faith. And there's nothing that's going to give us more richness, more life, than doing that. And so I'm kind of searching for words here because I'd always thought my job was to become really holy. And I thought holiness was to become more spiritual. And I can remember even in the seminary imagining that someday maybe I would levitate.
I've been there, Father. I think sometimes I still go there.
It never happened.
Yeah.
I knew I'd never get the stigmata, but I was kind of hoping out for levitating. I do it in my dreams once in a while. But then I heard a statement by the Jesuit Teilhard de Chardin, who said, we are not human beings struggling to be spiritual. We are spiritual beings struggling to be human. In other words, our task is to become like Jesus, a human being, through and through, completely and fully. And all of our sins, all of our weaknesses, they somehow distort our humanity. And so what the couple is called to is to live in the spirit of Jesus so that they will image what being human is really like. And just to take this the next step then, in how this living the spiritual life, living this humanity, and they're pretty close to the same, how that affects others is to realize that the home is the greatest school to learn how to love. And it's the role then of husband and wife, if they're blessed as parents, to show the ways of love to their children. And so we're talking now about compassion, about service, about sensitivity, about justice, about care, all of those things that now are within reach. In other words, to become holy, I don't have to levitate. That isn't the evidence. The evidence is that I'm a good human being. And the role of the married couple is to teach the ways of love in the most human of ways, especially to their children. They teach it to each other. And whether they realize it or not, they're teaching it to the people in their lives. So it's in that way, I think the reason I was struggling is because we look for some extraordinary way that this happens. And I know God, I think, takes the ordinary and does extraordinary things through the ordinary. And you could say, well, there's nothing more ordinary than a husband and a wife. Well, in one sense, that's true. And yet God works through that relationship of love in a way that can profoundly touch others.
You know, Father Tom, you're saying this, and it's like, oh, really? Do I have to go back to that? That education of learning the love in the home and the day-to-day activities, that's hard. I think I'd rather have, let me just go to church and pray some more, mm-hmm. right? That would almost be the easier path to holiness. Mm-hmm. I think the constant refrain around my home with Carrie is that hymn of love from 1 Corinthians 13. But we never get past the first two. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is patient, love is kind. And it's kind of it's almost a joke how often, I mean, we kind of laugh at each other, how often we have to remind each other and ourselves that loving our little munchkins involves a tremendous amount of patience and kindness. Patience and kindness. But that's where the growth in holiness happens. You talked about other just incredibly important virtues, compassion and care and service and generosity and justice and on and on. Yeah, that's the great school of holiness right there in the day-to-day details. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Father Tom, I want to grow in that love. Okay, now I want to exercise. I want to have more of it, because some of the people we're talking to right now, it's only about 8:30 in the morning yet. And you know what? They're already empty. They're already done. They're already spent. So how can husband, wife, mom, dad come to be replenished or filled up or receive more of God's love, right? Jesus asked Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know I love you, but boy, Lord, you know that I need more of your love. So what do you recommend for couples and individuals who need to be filled up with more love?
The way I would put it, I would use the metaphor of the dance. The Cappadocian fathers in the early church spoke of the love of the Trinity, the love existing in the Trinity, as a dance. God was not a dancer. God was the dance. Okay. Now, I've watched Dancing with the Stars now and again, and I've learned that to do a samba, I don't know what a samba is, but it's fast, I guess. But to do a samba, there are certain steps. You have to know the steps. That's the first thing. And so that's when we start teaching the rules, the laws, how we're supposed to live, the commandments could be that, you know, and so forth. And you learn the steps, and I know that at the beginning of Dancing with the Stars, the first week they get up there to dance, they know the steps and they're working on them, but they're stiff as boards, most of them, you know, the contestants. They don't know really how to dance very well, but they're learning the steps. As the weeks progress, the music of the dance gets into them and they get into the music. So while they're still dancing the steps, it looks so different now because they've been caught up in the spirit of the dance. Our couples get caught up in the spirit of the dance of love. as they grow in the ways of love. God has given us a magnificent way to get started in marriage with your love for each other and so forth. You don't even worry about the steps yet. But the steps are important. And then you start learning the steps of how your relationship is going to work so you don't step on toes all the time. But as you're learning those things, you're also learning the ways of love, which is patient, which is kind, which does not give up, does not put on airs.
Doesn't seek its own.
Doesn't seek its own. Those are the steps of love. And when we gradually, and we learn them over time, that's why it takes time, okay? But gradually we learn them. And then one of the other qualities there is love forgives. It's always there. I like to ask the question, who loves each other more, a couple coming back from their honeymoon or a couple celebrating their 50th? And I maintain it's the couple who are celebrating their 50th anniversary. Because the couple coming back from their honeymoon still don't know each other yet. But the couple on their 50th, they've been through scrapes and difficult times, hard times, hurts, and they've learned to forgive, and they've learned to embrace each other in their brokenness. And so their love is at a profound depth that is not possible even for the young couple. Or as I like to put it, they know too much about each other to go back to the honeymoon. But that's true. They know too much. But they love that person as they are. Another thing I like to say is that if we don't love people the way they are, we don't love them at all. And so it's learning to love somebody who isn't perfect, who doesn't do it right all the time. And I thought everything she did was perfect before I married her. And he was such a great guy before I married. Now he does all this silly stuff, and I don't understand it. But you learn to love him that way.
Are you listening into Carrie and my conversations? Is that what you're doing?
No, but I can imagine you're fairly normal.
Yeah, that's right. I think we are.
Fairly normal.
Yes.
But that's universal. That's what couples have told me.
Yes.
That's what they've learned, you know. And so what they're doing, they're learning the ways of love.
Amen to that. That's Father Tom Vandenberg. We're coming up against our break. When we come back, Father Tom's going to share some more from his wonderful book, Rediscovering a Pearl of Great Price. So please stay tuned.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com.
Today, I have the great gift and privilege of welcoming onto the program Father Tom Vandenberg. He is the pastor emeritus of St. Vincent de Paul Parish, ordained for over 50 years. And he wrote a wonderful book called Rediscovering a Pearl of Great Price, The Surprising Sacrament of Matrimony. So welcome back to the program, Father Tom.
Thank you.
Father Tom, during the break you were mentioning, you know, you said, I think that there's one key message that married couples need to know. If they want to understand the reality of marriage as a sacrament, there's this simple phrase that you used that was like, if they get this, then they're going to be on the right track. If they get this, then they're going to get it right. And so could you talk to that key message that married couples need to get if they're going to really understand the nature of marriage as a sacrament?
Let me begin answering that by saying this. When a couple comes to me to get married, I'll come to a point in the interview, I will ask them, what did you feel like when you realized he believed in you and wanted to spend the rest of his life with you? And she will always say, I felt like a queen. And he will say, I felt like a king. I felt empowered, like a whole new world was beginning for me. I believe that since our couples are sacraments of the church, they deserve to be believed in as sacraments of the church. I could not function as a priest if I didn't sense that the people believed in me who were in my parish or that I worked with, I couldn't do it. It even says in Mark's account of the gospel that Jesus could perform no miracles in Nazareth because of the people's lack of faith in him. Imagine. So when a couple gets married in the Catholic Church, technically the church is saying, we believe in you as a sacrament, but we have to make that belief real. We have to tell our couples, remind our couples that we believe in them, that we love them, we respect them. In fact, I even go so far as to say, and this is my own opinion, that our couples deserve to be respected and honored as much as any priest or religious. Their vows are just as sacred as any vows I ever made, because they're made to God for the life of the church to give glory to God. And so our couples need to be believed in. And I think that's where it starts. And if they have a sense of being believed in, that's going to have an effect upon them. It empowers them. The little kids believe they can do everything. By the time they're 17, they've lost that. But when they're 7, they believe it. And they pick it up again when they're 27. But that makes all the difference in the world.
Well, Father Tom, I love that that concept of being believed in. And faith, right? I believe in you. I've got faith in you. And when I think of the term faith and what I try to foster in my kids is this concept of faith means to trust and to entrust. Mm-hmm. And I'm translating that now to what you're saying about the church says we believe in you. It means that we trust you and we have entrusted something to you. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I look at the cover of your book, Rediscovering a Pearl of Great Price, the Surprising Sacrament of Matrimony, and I'm like, marriage is... it's a pearl of great price, and the Lord has entrusted it to me. Well, is it to me? Is it to Carrie? Is it to us? So when you think about that concept of the sacrament, and the sacrament, where does the sacrament actually live? Where does it actually exist, Father Tom, when you think about it in terms of a married couple?
It does not exist in the husband. It does not exist in the wife. It exists in the space between them. The power of the sacrament resides in their relationship. What's going on between them, the love that they have for each other between them, is what's going to continue to give life to their children. In other words, it was that which goes on between them that created their children. It's the love between them that will continue their creation. And so the power of the sacrament is in the relationship. It's all power is in the relationship. I mean, even in a little atom, it's this proton, neutron, electron. It's the space between them where the energy is. And if you break that, you have what we call a bomb.
Wow. I've never thought of that. That's brilliant.
It's in the space. Mm-hmm. It's what holds the moon in place. The relationship it has with the earth and the relationship it has with the sun. That's what keeps it in place. And so it's the power of your relationship that's going to touch lives. And an interesting thing is that when I say that your marriage isn't just for you, the sacrament is for the whole church, I'm calling you to a breadth of love. It's not just to love each other, but to show us the ways of love, and also to know that your love for each other is going to touch other lives out there. And what you do, I call you to a breadth of love, but what you do for me as a priest is you call me to a depth of love. In other words, my love can't just be for everybody. There has to be a depth to it. And so when we work together, the married couple and the priest, we call the church as the social sacraments to the depth and the breadth of love. In other words, we call the church to be a sacrament of Christ to the world, that we love all in the depth that Christ loved us on the cross. And when we love, it's always going to come somehow to the cross itself. So when we say, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple, I think is just another way of saying, love one another as I have loved you.
So
we're imaging the love of Jesus for the world.
Yes. That's Father Tom Vandenberg. Now, you've been a priest for more than 50 years. And sometimes the Catholic Church gets attacked for its way of treating women in the eyes of popular misconceptions. So when you think about the gift that women are in your life as a priest, when you think of the way that women have made a difference in the church, in the parishes where you've pastored and been a priest, or even in your life and for your priesthood, just speak to that, just briefly. In what way would you say women have been truly a gift from God for your life as a priest?
I do know this, that when a group of priests are together, we talk a certain way, and it's good. When a woman enters the group, the dynamic changes. There's no question about it. And one of the great gifts I've had in all my years in the priesthood has been being able to work with the women on the staffs of the parishes where I've been. They've taken an edge off of me. They've given me a perspective that I wouldn't have had before, and a sensitivity that I wouldn't have had before. And I've tried to listen to them, knowing that I grew up actually with three older brothers. And so I don't even know what a woman looked like, you know. And so I was in high school. But it's just the gift that they have is their unique sense of reality. And they bring to it, I don't know, we can say the softness of a woman, the gentleness maybe, or the strength of a woman. I often think, my, women go through so much. They're very, very strong. And it helped me overcome stereotypes that I may have had. So, and then the courage they have in terms of faith with their children, never giving up. They've taught me so much in that regard. So God knew what God was doing when he created us male and female.
I'm very happy he did that.
Yeah, I am too. I am too.
You know, Father Tom, you think of women and how so many women are such a gift to churches, just in terms of raw numbers, in terms mm-hmm. of volunteering, serving tirelessly, generously, on it goes, and how women can be they can be hard on themselves. And what they need is a time to be able to come away and just be ministered to. I think that's one of the great gifts of this Gift of Women Conference, is that women will come, and this is about being ministered to, letting the Lord delight in them, letting the Lord truly just bless them with an opportunity to receive his love, his unconditional love.
See, I think we can go back and say, while we have to believe in our couples as a sacrament of Christ's love, we have to believe in women as women and who they are. I still think we're just finishing, Holy Week and Easter, and in the middle of the Easter season, and the fact that Jesus revealed himself to Magdalene first, and people weren't going to believe because it was the woman with the message. God trusted her, believed in her to take that message to the disciples. Was that by accident, or was there something there, you know, that was special, that she was more ready to receive than maybe we skeptical men would have been, to receive this one who had shown her such love over the years, that he was with her again, in a new way, but with her again. So I it's a mystery, that's for sure. Women will always be a mystery.
But amen to that too, Father Tom.
But we're as much a mystery to them, so it works out pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're pretty much seen through. They, on the other hand, there is a...
Well, you've lived with one. I haven't, so you know a lot more than I do.
And Carrie, actually, as I mentioned a little bit earlier on, Carrie, my wife, is going to be on tomorrow to be with me to join in on the program. So she's going to share some of her story of faith, which I'm really thrilled about. Father Tom, in the last few minutes that remain... the church has an important part to play today in the world in terms of addressing some of these pressing issues. What would you say to that as it regards this particular moment when it comes to understanding the nature of marriage?
I think the real gift that our couples have to give to the church and our world is they make love believable. I don't know of any other relationship where people are more committed to the ways of love than marriage. That's why they got married in the first place, was to love. And in a very quick summary of a story I like to tell of a young gal that came into a family because she was pregnant out of wedlock, and she stayed with them, and they took care of her, did everything for her, and after the baby was born, she had to go back or wherever she was going, leaving the family. And she thanked everyone, and then she turned directly to the husband and wife, and she said this, "I want to thank you for loving each other. You see, before I came here, I thought love was only a word that people used to take advantage of people like me. You have made love real." They didn't do anything extraordinary. They just loved each other. And in the ordinary love, they had changed a life. And that's the power of married love, of sacramental love, because they do the loving, and Christ's power in their relationship will do the changing of lives.
Wow. That's a profound story, Father Tom. If only we believed that, we married couples believed that authentic, loving relationships radiate something true and good and beautiful. It radiates light and warmth that can actually change minds and hearts. And I completely agree with you, Father Tom. In this moment, I think the concept of proclamation is so very fitting, that what the church needs is to have her married couples and the church herself proclaim with greater boldness and courage the beauty and truth and goodness of the sacrament of holy matrimony. I'm with Father Tom Vandenberg. We're up against our final break. When we come back, we'll have a chance to have a couple of closing comments from Father Tom today on Sound Insight. I so appreciate you walking with me today, and I hope that you'll truly get his book. We'll be back in just 1 minute. Welcome back to Sound Insight. This is Tom Curran, and it's been a very quick hour with Father Tom Vandenberg, and he is the author of Rediscovering a Pearl of Great Price, the Surprising Sacrament of Matrimony. Father Tom, if I said to you, what's the main thing you want people to come away with today?
Well, the main thing is to know the main thing and to keep the main thing the main thing.
I just set you up for that, Father Tom. Okay, say that again and then tell us what it means.
The main thing is to know the main thing. What's the main thing in your relationship, in your marriage? It's your relationship. If you fight over money or jobs or children or in-laws, they're not the issue. Your relationship is the issue. Always keep it the main thing. Always keep it the main issue. The main thing is to know the main thing and to keep it the main thing. Nothing else is more important than your relationship to one another in Christ. That's the key piece. Now, how does the church learn from this? You see, the church also, the most important thing about us is our relationship with one another in Christ. It models yours? Yes, it does. And so, if we live in a church today that is polarized in some ways, that's the issue, isn't it? Huh? Our relationship. And we have to find a way to come together again if we are to truly be a sign of Christ's love in the world. By this they will know you are my disciples, your love for one another. May they be one so the world may believe. Those are critical pieces, and it all depends upon what kind of a relationship we have. Not who's smartest or who's right, who's wrong. What are we doing because we have differences? How are we dealing with those in a way that keep us together as the body of Christ?
That's by keeping the main thing the main thing. That's the relationship. Father Tom, I love it. It's a beautiful insight, and I really appreciate you sharing that and so much else with us today on Sound Insight. It's a great blessing.
Thank you.
Father Tom, what would be sort of a closing comment you'd want to offer our dear listeners today?
Well, especially in the context of the sacrament of matrimony, if no one has ever said it, and you've never heard it said anyway, I want you to hear me say, I believe in you as a sacrament of Christ's love in the church today. And secondly, thank you for loving each other.
Very beautiful. Thank you for loving each other. Just don't take that for granted, and don't underestimate the power of little acts of love, consistent acts of love, to extend the breadth of love that exists in that relationship between a husband and a wife. And that calls forth the depth of love in priests and in the body of Christ who witness that love. I love it, Father Tom. It's a beautiful message in a wonderful book, Rediscovering a Pearl of Great Price, The Surprising Sacrament of Matrimony. It's by Father Tom Vandenberg. Father Tom, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.